To speak to you today, some encouraging words. Some words of encouragement, something that will edify, something that will increase your hope and your faith. And I won't be very long. I'll probably be real short today. Revelation 11, verse 1. And there was given me a reed like unto a rod. And the angel stood, saying, Rise, and measure the temple of God and the altar, and them that worship therein. And the title for this message is Measure the Place. Measure the Place. If you could bow your head. Father, we thank you for accepting our worship, for the atmosphere of your presence. Lord, we ask right now, Lord God, that as the word goes forth, that it will anoint, that it will break every yoke, that it will edify, that it will increase our faith, Lord God, that it will increase our hope. We thank you right now for your presence and for what you're about to do in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Let's give God one more praise. Find two or three people. Go and shake their hands. Get out of your aisles. Go and shake some people's hands. Tell them you're going to measure the place. Shake some hands you don't know. Greet our visitors. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. You know I come up sometimes with some strange titles. Some strange titles for sermons. I would guess that you probably haven't heard that title before, Measure the Place. But you know, this is a strange circumstance. In Revelation chapter 11, it kind of goes along with our theme this month of end of days. In Sunday school, we kind of went up to chapter 8. The next few chapters set the stage for what's going to happen in chapter 12. And John is going back and forth and covering material in the book of Revelation that is yet to be revealed. But then in the opening of chapter 11, he is given a measuring rod. And he's told to go measure the place. And it seems strange that that would be asked of him to suddenly, you know, he's observing all of the going-ons in heaven, and then he's given a rod, and he's told to go measure the place. And it took me back to what you do when you're about to move in somewhere. When you're about to move in somewhere, you know what you do? You get your tape and you go in the different bedrooms and you start saying, okay, the bed can go here, the dining table over here, and the piano can go over here. You start measuring the place. And I kind of believe that's one of the reasons why John was asked to go measure the place. You know why? We're about to move in. We're about to move in. You know, when you measure somewhere, it's more than just visiting. It means the transaction's a done deal. You don't start measuring the place till you got the keys. Till you got the keys. And the person who's got the keys, the agent who got the keys, when he arose, he said, All power in heaven and earth is given unto me, and I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. So you know what? You can go measure the place. You better go find yourself a nice spot and measure the place, because I'm going to have mine. Amen. The angel told John, you're going to be moving in here. He didn't say that in so many terms, but he said, why don't you just go measure it, see how it feels? You know, when they're trying to sell you something like a car or a piece of furniture, they say, go sit in it. Go get yourself positioned. See how comfortable it feels. Go measure the place. In the book of Revelation, we see that this harkens back all the way to the Old Testament, because you'll find that that word measure only applies or primarily applies to the temple. When God was giving Moses the instructions for the temple, he gave him some measurements. He told him, I want you to measure the Ark of the Covenant, 1.5 cubits. I want you to measure the curtains, 11 cubits. And they were measuring the place that they were going to be worshiping God in. And we see that it goes all the way back, all the way to the Old Testament, that God told them to measure the place. You'll find if you did a reference on that word measure, that most of the time, probably 3/4 of the time, it applies to the temple. In the book of Ezekiel, you'll find it almost every chapter, from chapter 40 all the way to chapter 48. Nearly every verse is speaking about measuring the temple. You know what it tells me? We're going to be moving in soon. I want to tell you, it's not going to be very long. Many years ago, there was a song that said, soon and very soon, we're going to go and see the king. I'm telling you, that day is coming. The book of Revelation tells us in the first chapter, in chapter 1 and verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, given unto him to show unto his servant things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. We see that John was told some of these things are shortly going to come to pass. Some of these things are going to happen. It may not seem to us right now that anything much has changed, but if you're a person who watches the news, a person who looks at what is happening in the world, you'll see that it's not getting better and better. The Bible says perilous times shall come. I'll tell you what, perilous times have come. Perilous times have come. Who would have thought a few years ago that people would be beheading people? But the Bible tells that 2,000 years ago in the book of Revelation that they would be beheading Christians. We know that perilous times have come. It's time for you to start measuring the place. It's time for you to start getting the carpet ready to move in, because I'm tired of this place. I am tired of this place. I want out of here. I truly want out of here. See, when you're measuring the place, you have taken ownership. You don't measure something that someone else is. When you measure the place, it shows that you have a relationship. You're either going to be living there or renting it, or it's yours. When you measure the place, it means you're not visiting. You don't go to someone's house and start measuring the place when you're visiting. But you measure the place when you're about to move in. I'm telling you, Satan gets kicked out and we get to move in. The Bible says in the next chapter that there was war in heaven, and the devil and his angels could not prevail, and they were cast out. You know why? Because we're starting to measure the place. In chapter 11, John is told, you better start measuring the place. See, we're about to move in. I know it seems that every day is the same, and tomorrow you'll have to get up and go to work, but I'm telling you, you're one day closer to measuring the place. You're one day closer to moving in. One of these days, the Bible says, the trump of God shall sound, and the dead in Christ shall arise first, and then we that remain and are alive shall be caught up together with him in the skies. See, you'll find this word measure is primarily associated with parts of the temple. The tabernacle was given instructions to be built to Moses, and you'll find in Exodus that nearly every verse he's saying, you measure it this way, measure it that way. And the trouble was with the tabernacle, it was not a fixed place. It was something that had to move. It was temporary. They had to travel with it. It wasn't good enough for the final thing. It was covered with skins and made of curtains. It was a very temporary place. And yet, God tells him to measure it. Measure the curtains. They have to be 11 cubits. The ark has got to be 1.5 cubits. This has got to be 60 cubits. The breadth has got to be 10 cubits of the Holy of Holies and 10 cubits high. God gave him specific instructions to measure the place. But the trouble with the tabernacle was that it was built by man. Once they came into the promised land, David got into his heart, you know, it's a shame that we sit in houses made of brick and stone, and we have beautiful marble floors, and yet the tent of God is still just a tent. We need to build something better. And he had it in his heart to build a house for God. But God said, sorry, David, you've killed too many people. There's so much blood upon your hands. But let me tell you something. Your son Solomon, he will build me a house. He will build me a house. And so God gave all the measurements to Solomon. And you can read about it again, about 20 cubits for the cherubims and so much for the porticos and so much for all the rooms. God gives him specific measurements. And when he was finished, Solomon looked on this beautiful edifice, probably the most beautiful edifice that was possible. And he said, can God dwell in a house built by man? And of course, the answer is no. You see, both those things, although they were beautiful, although they were told to measure them, they in the end were built by man. And so they were temporary. Paul speaks about the law in Galatians 3:24. He says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. The tabernacle traveled with them. It was bringing them to the promised land. Even though they measured it, it wasn't something that was permanent. It was just a tent. It was just temporary. I want you to know that where you are is only temporary. It's not permanent. Whatever you're going through, it's not going to be permanent. Aren't you glad? You're just passing through the wilderness. You're just passing through Sinai. There is a promised land. Galatians 4 says, 3:24, therefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. That tabernacle only functioned to get them to the promised land. But even when they got to the promised land, they built another temple. It was so beautiful. It took tons of gold. There was no hammers on that site. Everything had to be made off-site and perfectly aligned and brought and aligned and matched on site. There could be no machinery at that site. It had to be perfect. It was the greatest building that could be built by human beings. The inside was almost pure gold. Can you imagine being in such a building that was almost pure gold? In fact, when they dedicated it, the glory of God filled the place. But yet it still had a problem. Even though they had measured it, it was temporary. In 586 BC, because of Israel's sin, because of their forsaking God, God allowed Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians to come and destroy it. This building that had been so beautiful, that they had measured so precisely, that the blocks could fit with no gap in between, that had been engineered to the greatest human possible standards, was no more. Even though they had measured it, even though it had been once filled with the Spirit of God. In 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 27, Solomon, when he looked on the building, he said, but will God indeed dwell on earth? Behold, the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house that I have built. And right there is the problem. Right there is the problem. He said, the house that I have built. You see, God tells us in another way to measure our days. When he says we got to number our days, it's telling us that this house is temporary. It doesn't matter if you measure it, it's going to end. The Bible says 70 years or 70 and 10 years, and if by reason of strength, 80 years. You know, I preached a message about numbering your days. I think it was for 70, it was 25,000. Not a lot, really. Some of you are up in the thousands already. Last night as I was laying down to sleep, I was listening to my heart. And I was thinking, man, that thing has been going nonstop since 1956. 1956, that thing, yeah. You putting your hand on your heart? That thing's been, measure it. That thing's been going from you're born, and it can't stop. The day it stops is the day when you die. It's not like a car you can go and take the engine out and get an oil change. They've tried that. Try as they might, they can't make an artificial heart that's permanent. You see, God tells us to number. In other words, measure your days. Because he's leading up to somewhere that's permanent, that's not temporary. No matter how wonderful it is that we can build this house, it's not going to be good enough. It's only temporary. It's only to get us through this Sinai, this desert. It's only a temporary place. Don't put too much stock in it, because this is not the final place that you need to measure. You see, in Romans chapter 7 and verse 18, Paul says, for I know that in me, this is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. Anyone failed this week? Anyone failed God this week? I did. Yeah, I failed God. So bad. I felt so bad. Paul goes on to say in verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." Yes, I get up every day. Lord, I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to witness. I'm going to just make my light shine. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. See, when we try and measure this place, it's telling us it's temporary. It's finite. It's got a fixed expiration date. The other day I went in the fridge and I started picking up stuff and I looked at it. And my wife said, "You want to eat this?" And I said, "No." It said 10/26 on it. It had expired. I didn't want to touch that. I measured it and it found it wanting. Amen. But what I'm trying to tell you, there is a place that was not built by hands. That was not built by human hands. The Bible says in the heavens. And you know what? We get to measure that too. He told him in Revelation 11, "John, get up. I want you to take this stick and I want you to go measure the place." You know what he was doing? He was telling him, this is it. There's going to be a day. There's going to be a time when you can stand in heaven and say, "I've made it." Can you imagine that? I'm sorry if I'm teaching Sunday school again, but this is what's on my heart. We have got to endure to the end, because if you do, the angel's going to say, "Here's your stick. Go measure it. Go measure it. It's time to move in." See, how much beautiful the temple was, how many tons of gold it had, even though it was filled at one point with the presence of God. There came a day when God's spirit deserted it. You know why? It was made by hands. Solomon looked at it and he said, "Look at this house that I have built." Sometimes we get up in the morning, we look in the mirror, and we think, pretty good. No, you don't do that, right? You guys don't do that. Well, maybe you women do. Maybe you women do. I want to tell you that it's okay sometimes when this house starts to fail. There came a time when, no matter how beautiful that temple was, it needed some repair. It needed some things to be done to it. You see, there's another use of that word measure, and that's found in 2 Corinthians 1:8. Paul says, "Listen, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble." You mean there's going to be trouble? Nobody told me there was going to be trouble. Well, let me tell you, there's going to be trouble. Here is Paul saying, "I would not have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed." I gave up trying to measure it. We were pressed out of measure. It means that there was no other yardstick to give the answer to. It was so much, it was almost that we felt like giving up. He said, "Above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." Who's this talking? It's the great apostle Paul. That's who's talking. He's speaking about the fact that he could not measure his strength anymore. You see, when we try measuring this house, it's going to come up short. It's going to come up deficient. There's going to be gaps, because no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how filled with the Spirit is, it's temporary. It's temporary. And I'm glad for that. Amen. I'm glad for that. The Bible says we have a home prepared in the heavens, not made with hands. The receiver of so many great revelations, the person who brought the gospel to the Gentiles, came under such attack that he said, "Listen, I can't measure this. I'm in despair, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life." I'm telling you that just because you're a Christian, just because the house is the temple, just because you're filled with the Spirit, it's going to come and need to be measured some more, because there is going to be trouble. He said, "Listen, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant." I want you to know, just because I'm an apostle doesn't mean I didn't go through some things. Just because I'm pastor doesn't mean that I don't bleed. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you're not going to hurt. Just because you come to church doesn't mean the devil isn't going to get on your case. See, the problem with all these temples was that it was built by man. That's the problem. As I said in Romans 7:18, he says, "For I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. You see, God does not permanently dwell in this kind of vessel. It's only temporary. Acts chapter 7 and verse 49 says, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. What house will he build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? See, Psalms 127 verse 1 tells us, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. I'm telling you, although Moses followed the instruction of God down to the last inch, although Solomon built the temple according to all the measurements given, although he put the gold where the gold should be, although he consecrated it with over 100,000 sheep, although he did all those things, it was not the permanent place because it was built by the wrong person. You see, the right place built by the right person is going to last. See, my best golden temple is nothing but filthy rags. My best temple, my best outside is still filthy rags. Jesus looked at the Pharisees and said, you're like a whited sepulcher. Outside you look so beautiful, but inside you're dead men's bones. Now that's a harsh saying. He said, you look so beautiful when you come to church, but does anyone want to measure the inside? See, the Bible tells us that we need to measure our days. Tomorrow is not necessarily promised to us. Tomorrow is not promised to us. Sister Johnny was telling me Friday, I saw her pull off from here, and the next thing she calls me and says, she's been hit. Someone came and hit her in the side. Thanks be to God, it only damaged her car and not her, but it could have been the devil had her number. But God said, no, you can mess up her car. You can scratch it on the outside, but Satan, you can't have her life. You know why? That temple belongs to me. Anything built by man, the Bible says it's the invisible things that are eternal. If you can see it, it's not going to last. But if you can't see it and it's built by God, and it's eternal, then you can start to worship. You can start to thank God. Because I'm telling you that in just an instant, she could have been dead. But God said, no, you can have her car, you can mess up the car, but you can't touch her life. You see, the Bible is telling us something. That when John saw his vision in heaven, the angel told him to measure it. But this time, it wasn't because he was building it. It had been built for him. See, we have a home in heaven that has been built for us. I just baptized myself. That's okay. The Catholic way. I just sprinkled myself. That's okay. It doesn't count. All of these tents, all of these temples were only temporary. But one day, we're going to get to heaven. And the angel's going to say, here's your personal rod. Go check it out. You ever been house hunting? Who's been house hunting? The agent gives you the keys. And they say, go check it out. And you go in and you start looking around. And then immediately, at least the women, they say, the bed could go here and the thing over here. The men just look and say, how much is it? But I tell you, the answer to it is this. It's free. That heavenly, the price has been paid. When he said it is finished, all we're waiting for now is the old occupant to be evicted. And that day is coming. He's about to be evicted. Amen. John chapter 14 verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. That's become almost my favorite scripture now. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You can go down the many mansions. You can pick you out one just that suits you. The Bible says in Revelation that the city that he saw was 1,500 furlongs. I think 1,500 miles in a cube. You know how much volume that is? I think it's like 3 billion. That's how the heavenly, that's how big the heavenly Jerusalem is. So you'll be able to find you a mansion that suits you. I was looking at the one of these channels, and they were talking about houses that had 10,000 square feet and one that had 20,000 square feet. I mean, so ridiculous that, you know, you could walk through that place for days and get lost. I don't care what size mansion, but I'm going to have one. Amen. I'm going to be given a rod, and he's going to say, measure the place. I'm telling you today that God has got a rod for you, that he's got your name on it, and it says, measure the place. John, I want to show you something, that this house isn't going, no matter what you have experienced on earth, no matter what you went through in this flesh, this house is going nowhere. You go measure the place. You're going to be moving in. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1 tells us the whole story. For we know, say we know. Because that's the key. If you don't know, you're in the wrong place. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, I've got a building. I'm having it custom made. It's got just the size bedroom I want. Fireplace here, the jacuzzi over there. Jacuzzi maybe for two, I don't know. Listen, God instituted marriage in the garden, so we're going back to the garden, aren't we? For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building. We have a building. We have a building. The Bible says Abraham searched for a city whose maker, right, who had no hands. It means it wasn't made by human hands. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal. Eternal. The tabernacle was not eternal. Even the most beautiful building ever was not eternal. But this one in Revelation chapter 11 verse 1, you can go measure it because it's not going anywhere. It's time for us to measure the place. I want you to start dreaming big because you've got a mansion. If you can't see it, you need to start using your faith organ and to see your heavenly home. Eternal in the heavens. For this we groan. I'm groaning. I have a nice house and I'm grateful for it. But I'm earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. In Revelation, he talks to the church in Laodicea and he tells them, listen, you guys are naked. You think you're rich, but you're naked. It says in verse 3, if so being that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle. See, do you understand? This is just a tent. This is just a tent. This is not the real thing. Those of you over 50, aren't you glad this is not the it? I got a new model coming out. I said that in Sunday school. I've got a brand new model coming out. It's got the latest and greatest. It's got that new car smell. Amen. If so being clothed, we shall not be found naked, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan. I was kneeling down here fixing this thing this morning, and I stayed there a little bit too long. I hope no one was watching me. You were all praying, but I really had to push to stand back up. I'm really needing a new model. Literally, I need a new model. My car out there's got 130,000 miles, and it's 7 years old. I need a new model. But you know, when I get to heaven, I won't need a car. I'll be able to just say, beam me up over there. It won't be beam me up, Scotty, but it'll be just as good. The Holy Spirit will just take me wherever I want. There won't even need to be a sun or a moon nor seas because the Bible says that the Lamb is the glory thereof. I'm getting ready to measure my place. I want out of here. Hallelujah. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan. See, if you're not groaning, you're too comfortable. You're much too comfortable. You don't realize you've got an old beat-up tent. I guess if we could see what Adam and Eve look like, we'd understand what a poor comparison we are. Being burdened, not for that we would be unclean. You see, we don't understand what we have lost, what we fell from. Only Jesus could understand what he left behind, the glory that was up there. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest. We've got the deposit on the house. It's ours. We just haven't moved in yet. The closing is coming. You're going to be getting the keys. And you'll begin being about to be given the measuring rod. Now he that hath wrought in us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Amen. Those of you who have bought a house, you know you have to put down the deposit and sign the contract. And then they set the closing. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in this body, I'm only camping here. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. How does the rest of the song go? My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are on this home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. If you could stand with me. You're going to be given a rod, and you're going to be able to measure the place. John, get up. John must have thought, this is a strange vision I'm having. Suddenly, he's being asked to take the rod and go measure the temple. You know what that signifies? Home. Home. God is saying, listen, it's yours. I've got a place for you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are not a little, not a few, many. Just go down the road, pick anyone you want. Pick anyone you want. Our vision cannot be down here. Our focus cannot be down here. If you look down here, you're going to be disappointed. You're going to be upset. You're going to be distressed. You're going to be depressed. Looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. That's what you got to do, is to look at the joy that is set before you. Whatever has been your happiest day ever, can you think of a happy day you had? Can you think of a day when you were so happy that you couldn't stop smiling? See, if you're really thinking about it, I'll know, because you'll be smiling now. This is kind of silly, but when I was 18, I won a trip. I was living in England, and I won a 6-week, all-expenses-paid trip to Jamaica. Do you think I was smiling? All expenses paid, all by the government, taken to mansions and all kinds of things, went and met the governor general, the prime minister, was on interviewed on TV and all of that. All expenses paid, nothing, no cost to me. And there have been some other days where God has just done such outstanding stuff. All you can do is smile. Heaven will be that. An order of magnitude more. He's going to say, here's the rod. Go measure the place. See, the keys is one thing, but the rod means you're moving in. I'm trying to tell you today, don't look down here. Look up. Isn't that what the Bible says? Look up, for your redemption, your deliverance, your healing, your salvation draweth nigh. As I said in Sunday school, Revelation 21, verse 4, God shall wipe away all tears, all tears, all tears. There shall be no more sadness, no more crying, no more pain. I'm tired of trouble. 2019 can't go fast enough for me. Is it Christmas yet? My last word to you today, God is saying, listen, I've got a measuring rod for you, John. Measure the place. Measure the place. Because it's yours. You ever had a surprise where you think you didn't know you were going to get this thing free? Go measure it, because it's yours. I don't know if John caught it. I don't know if he understood what was being said. Go measure the place. It's yours. You can do with it as you will. Go measure the place. God is telling us a message of hope today. Stop looking at this trouble down here, because you know what that means? It's coming. He's coming. He's coming. Hallelujah. These altars are open. If you want to pray, For we know, that's the important part, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, the scripture calls it a tent, it's only temporary, were dissolved, we have a building. And house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Now, that only applies if you know the house builder. You've got to have a relationship with him. Amen. If you have a relationship with the house builder, then this scripture applies. And he has something for you to go measure, a measuring rod. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service, but I want you to meditate upon this, that God told him to go measure the place. The very next chapter we'll be covering next week, Revelation 12, is when we move in. It says there was war in heaven. And the devil and his angels fought, and Michael and his angels fought, but he prevailed not. There was actually no doubt about the battle. It's been won from Jesus on Calvary, said it is finished. And he was cast out. And then to me, one of the most important verses in the whole Bible, in Revelation chapter 12, it says, now has come salvation. Rejoice, ye heavens. Rejoice, because now has come salvation. All that you have been going through, all that you have been suffering, all that you have endured, all your struggles, all your pain, the many times you may have wanted to give up, you're not alone. Paul said, I've been pressed so that I couldn't even measure. Didn't feel like measuring. Didn't want that rod right then. But, as we said in Sunday school, underneath are the everlasting arms. We're going to pray, but I want you to leave here today understanding this, that God is our everlasting strength in a time of help, in the time of trouble. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you today that you have promised us a building not made with hands. Lord, I pray our faith right now that we can stand upon your promises, stand upon your that you have gone away to prepare for us a place. And we thank you right now, Jesus, and we believe your word, oh God, that you have got a measuring rod for us and that you're going to tell us to measure the place. Lord, we ask right now, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, that our focus be up, that we're looking at you, not at this world, not at our tribulations, not at our troubles, but Lord, we seek your face. We seek your covering. We thank you right now, Lord, for deliverance and blessing and hope. Hallelujah. And most of all, for salvation in Jesus' name. Church, if you could pray for me and pray with me as I pray for these at the altar. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.